Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercies, how he helps us. Oh, we know we could do nothing without him. And that's so very, very true. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there is that hunger. There's that thirst for righteousness. His word that feeds our soul. We could go everywhere else, you know, just in the world and try to find things. But, oh, thank God for the living water. Thank God for the word of God that talks to us and helps us to know how to go forth, what to pursue, how to think, and how to come to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's so important. But thank God if he talked to our hearts and God is ready. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we could come here tonight to be here, Lord Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your touch. Thank you, Lord, that you talk to our hearts. Oh, God, that you got us here. Lord, oh, God, without that motivation from thee, Lord, that still small voice that speaks to our hearts, oh, God, we would just not have an inclination even. Oh, Lord, but you drew us unto yourself, Lord. You brought us here, Lord. You redeemed us with thy blood. And, oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you talk to us here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that your word would have free course. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, you know every need, even before, oh, God, we come together. And I pray, oh, Lord Jesus, that all of these needs would be met. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, that somebody would find the living waters tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you draw us all closer to thee. Oh, God, I pray that you give us faith that we might receive, oh, Lord, thy precious promises. Oh, God, that we might walk in faith and, oh, God, not fear the evil. Oh, God, but to know that with you, oh, God, there's great strength, there's great victory. Victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. I pray, oh, God, you'd use this word. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I can do nothing without you. I ask you to use this. Help me, Lord, let it go forth as thou hast ordained in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise our God. Well, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Long time since we've seen you, Wild. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. It's good to have Greg here again tonight. And thank God we're here. The Lord has made a way. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We were studying in Isaiah 55 last week, and I didn't get very far into that chapter. So we're going to go there again tonight, Lord helping us, and just see how the Lord works and what he brings out. I had called this, Come Ye to the Waters. And oh my, we'll just go over the first part, I expect, rather briefly, but let's just see how God works here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. This is his word. And oh, what a privilege it is to open it. Oh, to share it, to love it. Oh, my, to have it even in our hearts. Oh, that's quite a desire to just have it down deep inside, just as far as I can get it. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's start with verse 1 here. Isaiah chapter 55. Come ye to the waters. Praise the Lord. It starts as an invitation. It says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, this is our invitation to come to the Lord Jesus. And it's so beautiful. We don't have to just go deep into a bank account to try to pay for salvation. We don't have to borrow somehow to make it work. Oh, my, you know, we don't have to go to all kinds of feats in that way to obtain salvation. No, it's an invitation that Jesus so freely gives to us that we can come. And yes, without money. just come to him at that invitation and yielding our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, something that you can't buy. Oh, yes, something that comes from heaven. Praise the Lord. And then the question here in verse 2, it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, I believe I mentioned how the temporary things in this world are so fleeting. And people strive, they go to great lengths to try to obtain all the things of this world. But you know, there's nothing among the things of this world that satisfieth the soul. And oh yes, it's so ironic that people go to so many extremes to try to obtain things when, you know, the more you have, the more you have to deal with. You know, if you had oodles of property, I can't imagine what that'd be like to try to take care of it. And oh my, all the taxes you'd have to pay besides. But oh, you know, the Lord's offer is so much better. And you know, Jesus said in John the 6th chapter in verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath the Father sealed. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful offer, all that manna that came from heaven. Of course, Jesus declared in that 6th chapter of the book of John that he was the bread of life. Oh, yes, he was that manna that had come down. Oh, things in the Old Covenant and the Old Testament were parallel. They were in the physical sense, but oh, yes, they pointed to that which was to come, the Lord Jesus who would come, oh yes, and bring that spiritual manna. Oh, he would give his soul, his life, a ransom for many. Oh yes, so that we might have salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, he said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He shed that blood for us on the cross. Oh, yes, that we could have life and more abundantly, everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful gift we have been given. Praise the Lord. So, yes, there's that asking. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? And then, oh yes, let's hearken. It says, hearken diligently. Oh, listen carefully here. Oh yes. And eat that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the richness of God, the treasures of his word, oh, the things that satisfy the soul. Oh, to know that your life is in God's hands, to know that, you know, you've given it to the Lord and you have a destination beyond this world. It's worth so very much, isn't it? Oh, it is the pearl of great price. It is something worth working to acquire with all your might, with your being, searching for it if you must. But oh, to find it, oh, what a joy, what a wonderful thing. And again, it's something you can't buy with the things of this world. Oh, no. Oh, it's a turning of the heart over to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And he says in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And oh, yes, this is so exciting because, you know, David the king had been promised, oh, yes, that God would preserve his seed. And oh, yes, it was, oh, such a matter that David had wanted to build the Lord a house. He realized as he became established as king of Israel and things were at rest and peaceful at that time, you know, and he had what he needed. The Lord had no house so to speak. There wasn't a dwelling place for the Lord here on earth, and it was in his heart to build a temple for the Lord. And at first, Nathan the prophet said, "Do what is in your heart, the Lord is with thee." But all that night, God came to Nathan the prophet, and he had a story to tell him, because God's plan was a little different than David had thought, and Nathan also at the first. And so often it is. You know, we have these things in mind and you know, these expectations and maybe goals and everything else. And sometimes people jump ahead of God and you know, they don't, you know, quite understand God has something else in mind. He wants to go a different direction. And you know, it's not too good to jump ahead of God. But oh my, thank the Lord when God corrects things and brings it all to pass, and it goes according to his will. And so here it was that the Lord came to Nathan that night, and he told Nathan the prophet, "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in tents and in a tabernacle." And in the seventh verse here in 2 Samuel 7, it says, "In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, and saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar?" See, God wasn't requiring that, you know. And again, you know, it's a beautiful thought, and I can understand David's great desire to do so. But it wasn't time. It wasn't what needed to be done at that moment. God had another thing that he was bringing forth. It tells us in verse 8, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Then he says, verse 10, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." Oh, praise the Lord. And he went to say in verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom." Oh, praise the Lord. So you see, God's plan was that instead of David building him a house, building God a house, God was going to build him a house. And how was he going to do it? He was going to use his children, his grandchildren, his seed that would follow. Oh, yes, and establish a kingdom and build a house, therefore a spiritual house for his namesake, and establish this throne of his kingdom forever. And oh, yes, it says in verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. And of course, here in verse 14, God is talking about the seed that would follow David, those that would sit on the throne of Israel and Judah, of course, later after the kingdom split up. And so it would be that God would preserve them even if there was rebellion, even if there was iniquity in this case. He says in verse 15, "But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." And it says, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we might not completely understand that because, you know, if we just looked at the scripture in the Old Testament and know that after a time, the Babylonians came in and took Israel away. Well, first of all, the Assyrians took Israel away, and then the southern kingdoms, Judah, they were taken away by the Babylonians. And it would have seemed that it was over. Zedekiah was the last king, and so it was. And you know, it might have seemed that it wasn't forever. But God had promised David that it would be so. And you know why and how it happened? It was because there was going to be a spiritual kingdom that would follow. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, that seed would come forth from Jesus Christ because he would be born of the house of David. He would be of the seed of David. And through Jesus Christ would come forth a spiritual kingdom. Oh, yes, it wasn't understood at the first. Of course, we know there's many scriptures that indicated such. We see that in Isaiah, Isaiah the 9th chapter, for example, and realize that there was going to be a Messiah, a Savior that would come forth, a mighty one that would come forth and bring forth an everlasting kingdom. It's so beautiful, as it tells us here in Isaiah 9:6, familiar scripture, I know. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then, oh yes, these details of his kingdom, oh, that would come forth, it tells us in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, this would be the extension of King David's kingdom. Praise the Lord. A spiritual kingdom that would come forth. Oh, yes, out of the seed of David. And, you know, it's amazing. Even during the years of captivity, the records were kept. And you know, all of the lineage was preserved in that sense. And when it came time for the Savior to come forth, it was precisely exactly as God had ordained. Everything had been preserved just as it needed to be. And you know, it was told as, oh yes, Gabriel came to Mary. He made her known that here, if we look at Luke, the first chapter, it tells us, "And in the sixth month," I'm going to verse 26 here in Luke, the first chapter, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And of course, this was a tremendous surprise and, you know, even troubling at this moment. You know, if an angel comes and stands in our midst, I think we all would be very startled. And it tells us in verse 29 here in Luke 1, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Praise the Lord. So here we see how the sure mercies of David would be fulfilled. And verse 33 tells us, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, praise the Lord. So there we see the fulfillment of that which was given to David, the king. Oh, yes, that, you know, word, that prophetic word that, oh, yes, God would build him a house. It is a marvel what God does declare does come to pass. It is a sure thing. Oh, yes, his promises are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. So going back here to Isaiah 55, it says, Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Praise the Lord. And it tells us, Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, that was a wonderful surprise also, and something that the Hebrew nation did not understand. They did not understand. They had been, you know, called out as God's exclusive people there under the old covenant. And it was hard for them to comprehend that God's kingdom would be extended to all the people of the earth. And all, you know, that was, you know, even a prejudice, you could almost say, among them, because, oh my, they didn't have that understanding. But praise the Lord, it all came to their understanding little by little. And thank God for it, because here we are tonight. Maybe some of us are not of a Hebrew lineage. And if God would not have reached out and called us as a people, then we would have been excluded from the plan of God. But oh, yes, God had foreordained that there would be a people that he would come, that would come forth, and in his second covenant, in his new covenant, it would be a spiritual people. Therefore, Peter wrote in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10, he told the Gentile people here in this passage, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. You see how the plan of God went forth. And oh, yes, in God's ways, in what he had ordained, there was going to be a Gentile people that also would be included in the family of God. So therefore, Peter, as he is writing, and he's actually writing to the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, as we would glance at that first verse in the first chapter of this epistle. So here he's addressing Gentile people. And yes, he's stating that these Gentile people are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, and a peculiar people. Well, that is so very dear, you know. Oh, yes, it is so special to be peculiar in that sense. Oh, yes, it means to be a rare treasure. And you know, that's how God sees his people. That's how he regards it. The world might look at us strangely and think we're nonconformists and we're mighty strange. And you know, they might use the word peculiar in another sense. But how God sees us. Oh yes, his called out church, his ecclesia, those that have been bought by his blood. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, it's explained in 1 Peter 2, verse 10, these Gentile people that are part of the family of God, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that's good news. And praise the Lord, as the plan of salvation unfolded after Jesus ascended into this, away from this world and into the heavens, you know, we begin to see how God began to call forth his church. You know, there in the second chapter of Acts, we see that they were Jews and proselytes that were gathered there on the feast day of Pentecost. And of course, among them, oh yes, many received the glorious gospel and responded to Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, that need to repent and to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So yes, there was that call to the Jewish nation, those that had been participants in the past, in that sense, as a Hebrew or as a proselyte, and believers in that sense. But then in the 8th chapter of Acts, we see that the call came forth to the Samaritan people. And the Samaritan people were kind of half Jewish and half something else, not at all liked by the Jewish people. But oh yes, God had a plan for them too. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we see that, oh yes, many of the Samaritans received the glorious gospel. Amen. Yeah. Yes, and were brought forth. And then, yes, as the plan of God unfolds, we see an amazing occurrence in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And here we are told that there was a man, his name was Cornelius. He lived in Caesarea, and he was a centurion in the band called the Italian Band. And he obviously had a faith in God, despite the fact that he wasn't Jewish. It tells us in the second verse of chapter 10 of the book of Acts that he was a devout man. He was one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And you know, God saw these characteristics, this devotion in this man, and he saw, you know, that love that he had. And God gave him a vision where he was told precisely what he needed to do. He needed to go to Joppa and find one whose name was Simon, whose surname was Peter. And he needed to go find him. He was there in Joppa. He was lodging with one who was called Simon the tanner, and living by the seaside. And he was told that Simon Peter would tell him what to do. So praise the Lord, you know, that vision and angel which spoke unto Cornelius was heard. And yes, Cornelius put it to action immediately. And I love that, you know. You know, faith is an action word. And, you know, there's a response that needs to come forth when we're told what we need to do. Amen. And so Cornelius, when he heard this, he sent two of his household servants and a devout soldier to go find Peter. Oh, yes, who was in Joppa, down there by the seaside. And you know, God had to get Peter ready because, oh my, Peter was not used to dealings with non-Jewish people. And you know, I love how God does it. We might not always know just, you know, what steps God is going to take or what procedure is going to come forth or, you know, even how to do it at times. But God always is ahead of us. And he has a plan. And, you know, he prepares hearts. Yes, so that we can follow through and so that we can be obedient when the moment is upon us. And praise the Lord, there was Peter, Simon Peter, there in Joppa. And oh yes, he was dwelling there in that home of Simon the Tanner. And it was about noontime, it tells us, the sixth hour of the day there. And sounds like Peter was kind of waiting for lunch. He had gone up to the housetop to pray. And he is actually quite hungry, it tells us, there as he was just waiting. And God gave him a vision to his great amazement. And oh, we know how it was. It was like the heaven opened up. And then a great vessel came down, descending onto him. And it was like a great sheet that was knit at the four corners. And it was let down onto the earth. And on that sheet, to Peter's great surprise, oh my, there were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And then a voice speaking to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And, you know, oh, this was unimaginable to Peter. And, you know, he said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And oh my, God spoke it again. He let that sheet come down the second time. And that same voice coming back and saying, "What God hath cleansed, that call not common or unclean." And you know, that happened three times. Peter didn't understand it. He didn't know what God was trying to tell him. But oh yes, shortly thereafter, there was going to be a knock on the door. And oh yes, as Peter was thinking on this vision, the Holy Ghost said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." You know, it's so amazing how God works. And so there it was. Peter came down and he found the three men that Cornelius had sent. And oh yes, they explained their mission. Oh yes, Cornelius had been told to go seek him. And so they had. And oh yes, they explained who he was. He was a centurion. He was a just man. He was one that feareth God. He was of good report among the nation of the Jews. And oh, he had been warned of God by an holy angel to send for Peter, oh yes, to come and hear what words Peter would give unto them. Oh, it's such an amazing thing. Oh, it was obviously, you know, not enough time to go to Caesarea at that moment, so these men were lodged overnight. And in the morning, Peter went with these three men to the home of Cornelius. And you know, I love that faith that Cornelius showed. You know, he was eagerly waiting. He was anticipating something very great. He had called together his relatives, his kinsmen. He had called all his near friends together. Oh, he was just, you know, waiting with great desire to hear what God would have him to know through the mouth of Peter. And here it was, Peter came. Oh, yes, Peter came, and the man that also came with Peter. And, you know, at first, Cornelius's response was to bow down before him, and Peter rebuked that and said, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And they begin to talk. And oh, you know, Peter comes into the house and finds a great crowd inside this home, many that had come together. And oh, you know, things are starting to click, I suppose, just a little bit. You know, it tells us here in Acts the 10th chapter, verse 28, "And he said unto them," and this is Peter talking, "you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." Then, of course, Cornelius told Peter of that vision. And oh, yes, how God had told him, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." You know, God sees it all. God keeps track. God knows what's in the heart. He knows those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He knows those that desire the good things of God and desire to serve him with all their hearts. And yes, Cornelius had been told, and he's telling Peter now the story. Verse 32, "Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee." And oh, yes, "immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Oh, I love that story. Oh, yes, somebody who was so desirous to hear the plan of God. Oh, yes, what God would say to them. And happily, Peter is beginning to understand now, oh, what is going on to a greater extent. It tells us in verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." You see, Peter was starting to get it. Oh, the mystery of God, one of his mysteries that, oh yes, under his new covenant, it wasn't just going to be one nation that was included in that covenant. No, it was going to be for all people, all that would hear and see and understand and come forth. Praise the Lord, every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And oh yes, Peter begins to tell the story. Oh, we sang that song, "I love to tell the story." Oh, there is no story like unto that which we have heard. Oh, yes, the wonderful, glorious news that the Messiah has come, that the Savior has come, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to seek and to save those that are lost. And oh, yes, Peter began to declare it unto Cornelius, into that wonderful crowd of people that were there expecting to hear the plan of God. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say, looking at verse 36, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Oh, the glorious ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And oh, Peter got that far. And all at once there was a disruption. Verse 44 tells us, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know it? Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there was evidence that they had been recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost. It tells us in verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love that. I'm hoping one day that happens. I'm hoping someday, oh, there will be this burst in the middle of a message, praise the Lord, and all at once, people speaking forth in other tongues as the Holy Ghost is coming down, oh yes, and filling their lives. Oh, praise the Lord, oh yes. Those other tongues and magnifying God, praise the Lord, and oh yes, oh, it could not be denied. God was pouring out of his spirit on the Gentiles. Oh, praise the Lord. It had happened first to the Jews. Then it had happened to the Samaritans. But now it was happening to the Gentile people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Peter had to ask then, oh my, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And praise the Lord, it wasn't just, you better do it. No, it's said here, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord, God's plan of salvation coming forth. Oh, even on the Gentile people. Oh, it's so beautiful. Amen. I'm so happy. Oh, yes, that even if we don't happen to be Jews by birth, that yet God, oh, makes himself known unto us even. Praise the Lord, unto them that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Peter was starting to understand, oh, how it had been foreordained by the plan of God. And oh, yes, that a nation that had not been known and nations would come unto the Lord. And oh, yes, that in fact, I love how it says that in Isaiah 55. Oh, yes, I like that. It says, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that desire. I see. Oh, yes. Cornelius and oh, his great desire. Oh, my, you know, when that angel came to him in a vision and you know, told him what he needed to do, he didn't waste time. No, he wanted all the fullness of God. He wanted whatever God had for him. And praise the Lord. Peter needed a little more understanding, didn't he? He needed a little more preparation in order to go forth and do it. But, you know, God knows how to do every detail, how to bring it to pass. And praise the Lord, oh, how beautiful it was. Oh, yes, as Peter was telling him about the Lord Jesus. Oh, the simplicity of the gospel. Oh, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ministry of our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And as he was telling them, oh, yes, that as the prophets gave witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, in the King James Bible, when it has that ETH at the end, it doesn't just mean believe. It means continues to believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the King James Version is way more exact than most of these other versions. Oh, yes, there is a reason why we cling to it and hold to it. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, it was told them, oh, yes, through his name. And oh, yes, we embrace his name in the waters of baptism. When we go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, we're embracing that name. We're taking it upon us. Praise the Lord. And yes, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, as he was telling them the plan of salvation, that need to repent and then to be baptized, every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, he said, for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, we're forgiven. That blood forgives our sins. But yes, yet the remission goes a step further, because if our sins are remitted, then there is no more price. It's paid in full. They're remitted. They're under the blood. It's taken care of. Oh my, every penalty, every possibility is gone in that sense. Praise the Lord. And this is what Peter was preaching there to the household of Cornelius, when all at once, oh yes, as he spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, praise the Lord, there in their seat. Oh, praise the Lord, responding in their hearts. Oh, believing the story that was told. Oh, yes, they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost came into their very being. Oh, yes, you know, the Holy Ghost. It's just such a wonder. You know, Jesus had told his people there, you know, I'm with you now. There, the 14th chapter of the book of John. But I'm going to be in you, praise the Lord. He said he wasn't going to leave them comfortless, but he was going to come unto them, praise the Lord. And how did he do it? He sent forth the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord, he sent it forth. Oh, yes, to fill that void. Oh, yes, so that he could be with them. Oh, yes, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, so his spirit could dwell in our hearts. Oh, what a gift. What a wonder. And you know, I love how Peter also said after he'd told the people what to do there in Acts, the second chapter. And, you know, he said, for this promise is unto you and unto your children, and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And praise the Lord, there's people that would like to just say, you know, oh, it's only for that time. Oh, it only happened on the day of Pentecost, you know, because, you know, there could be that interpretation there. The crowd that gathered out would hear them all speaking in their own languages. But oh no, it goes beyond that. That gift of the Holy Ghost wasn't just for that moment. But oh yes, it was for Cornelius. It was for the Samaritans in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And here in this 10th chapter, oh yes, it was for the Gentile people. And yes, Peter said, oh, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that means that is for you, and that is for me. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we know when he comes into our heart, because there's evidence, just as it was here in this 10th chapter of Acts. very spontaneous. You know, I sometimes it happens when people are baptized. Brother Tim, but you know, he went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. When he came up, hands raised, he was speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it wasn't just for them back then. I know there's some folks, some good Baptist folks who think that, you know, now, you know, we don't need it because, you know, it's mentioned when he that is perfect shall come that, you know, we would no longer need those gifts. Well, I'll tell you what, and they think that that means that when the King James Bible came into us, that that was the perfect thing. But I'll tell you what, it goes beyond that. And I thank the Lord. I do thank God because, yes, as Jesus said, he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. But he was going to come unto us. Praise the Lord. And all the fulfillment of that which the prophets spoke. They didn't always understand. In fact, they usually did not know what, you know, they were saying. When prophecies would come out of their mouths, they didn't have that understanding. At least not in fullness, and maybe sometimes a little bit, but, you know, for the most part, oh my, you know, they realized they were speaking of things that were down the road that those that would come after them would receive. And thank God for it. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I'm just thinking here, 1 Peter, the first chapter, just a few verses that I just want to bring out at the moment that have come to mind at the moment. It tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, it tells us, I'll start with verse 7 here, that the trial of your faith, this is 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then he speaks of the prophets, looking at verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You can imagine, you know, as some of those prophetic utterances came out of their mouths. We went to Isaiah 53 last week, and all that whole chapter deals with the ministry of Jesus Christ, his plan, his purpose, and the fulfillment of it. And oh yes, the seed that would come forth, his children. Praise the Lord. But see, the prophets, as the Spirit of God came upon them, they would speak forth. And they did have understanding of these things that were foretold, and it yet, you know, it just began to occur to them that, yeah, it must be that, you know, we're testifying before it happens of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And verse 12 tells us, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh my, do we just even begin to perceive the wondrousness of this? Oh, the gift that God has bestowed upon his people. Oh yes, oh, the Christ, the anointed one, coming to this world to begin to bring forth the kingdom of God, to teach the things that were related to do that ministry, to call forth his disciples. And oh yes, he knew, Jesus Christ knew from the beginning what would follow. He knew that he was going to give his life a ransom for many. Oh yes, he knew that in doing so, that he would take our sins upon himself. There was no other way. The blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient, oh, to completely take away sins. It was just for a moment under the law, under the old covenant. But God had a plan that went so beyond that. Oh, yes, God knew that it would take his sacrifice to redeem us, to take away our sins, to bring forth salvation. And oh, praise the Lord, what a gift. God, the creator of the universe, the mighty one, oh, the all-knowing one, oh, praise the Lord, the one that has all power, put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, he knew that it would take his death, it would take the shedding of his blood on the cross, but in so doing it, oh, he also knew that he was going to bring forth his people, his sons and his daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. His family, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, to the Jews first, but also to the Greeks. And oh, yes, here we saw in the 10th chapter of Acts how that the Holy Ghost was poured even among the Gentile people, even among the Greeks. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. And oh, as we look into the book of Acts, we realize that Saul of Tarsus would be called, and his mission would be particularly the Gentile people. And you know, he had a tremendous burden for his own. He was Jewish, and oh yes, when he went out on his missions, he had 3 missionary journeys, and then a 4th one to Rome, there as prisoner. But oh my, his great desire was that his own kindred, his own people, his own nation could be saved. But oh my, God had called him to minister to the Gentile people. And you know, it's so amazing, just looking a little bit on the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Here we have the Apostle Paul. And he is going forth. God has called him. He's been anointed with oil and told to go on this mission. Barnabas has gone with him. And here they are. They're on their first missionary journey here in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And oh yes, John Mark also was with them for a while. And you know, they go certain places, at first Cyprus and do a work there. And then after Cyprus, they go on to Asia Minor area. And you know, Perga, Pamphylia, in Pamphylia, and they came then to Antioch, which was in Pisidia. And Paul, after his manner, he went into the synagogue to declare the word of God. And he began to preach and tell his testimony in this 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'll tell you what, these testimonies have so much information in them. There's so much that is given forth. And you know, as he's preaching Jesus to them, oh, he's telling them, you know, what the sure mercies of God are. You know, just to read a small portion of this, because I know we don't have time to do the whole chapter. It tells us in verse 22, Here we have this message being preached forth by Paul. And he says in verse 22, and when he had removed him, he's talking about Saul, he's given a history of the Jewish nation. He said, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And oh, yes, he begins to, you know, tell them, you know, this is news to these people. And as it all is unfolded unto them, tells us how he mentions John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. See, it's like a history lesson here. And verse 25 says, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, who think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. He says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew not him, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So yes, here he's teaching, he's preaching Jesus Christ. They hadn't yet heard the good news. And you know the whole story, how John the Baptist came forth first. And then that Jesus came on the scene. And oh, he taught the people, he preached. And you know, came to the point where he was despised. He was rejected. And they condemned him. Even Pilate knew that there was no cause for death in Jesus Christ. But you know, the scripture had to be fulfilled. And that's what Jesus was doing. Oh yes, he was filling all that was written of him. Amen. Every plan, all the purpose of God from the beginning of the earth, it had to be fulfilled. And so it was. Jesus came on the scene and fulfilled that plan of God, even taking upon him the sins of the world. Oh, yes, they took him down from the tree. Oh, yes, it tells us in verse 29, and laid him in a sepulcher. But praise the Lord, that wasn't the end of the story, was it? No, it says, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Oh, praise the Lord. Those glad tidings of great joy that the shepherds heard, oh, there as they were on the hillside that night when Jesus Christ was born into the world. Oh, praise the Lord. And here, Paul is declaring unto them those glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And verse 34 tells us, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Oh, praise the Lord, that story. You know, the sure mercies of David, that which was given to David the king, and how God told him that he was going to build him a house. And oh, yes, that of his seed, those there would be kings that would follow. Well, eventually, it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? And this is how it was fulfilled, the sure mercies of David, that promise that was made unto him. Praise the Lord. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. And here Paul preaching, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Praise the Lord. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Oh, that was in Habakkuk, where it was already prophesied the rejection, Jesus coming unto his own, and his own receiving him not. But oh, yes, Paul was preaching to the Jews there in the synagogue. I'll tell you something happened here. Verse 42 tells us, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You see, they were kind of in the waiting there. They just had heard a little bit or whatever all, and the Gentiles were very desirous to hear more. And so it's established the second day Paul is going to preach again. And so it happened. When it came to pass, verse 43 tells us, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Oh, just like Cornelius, that in his household, so hungry, so desirous to hear. And here on that second Sabbath day, as Paul is coming here to this city in Bethsaida and preaching to the people, you've got almost the whole city coming together to hear the word of God. A real hunger and a real thirst. But it tells us in verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Oh, they got just downright nasty. It tells us they were filled with envy. Oh, this was too much. You know, Gentile people all crowding in and all wanting to hear. Oh, we can't have this. So they thought. And oh, they became very nasty, contradicting and blaspheming. Oh, yes. And something is happening here. Paul and Barnabas are beginning to realize, oh, yes, there's a people that desire to hear the word of God. There is a people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And they went to tell them here, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the world, or ends of the earth here. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Oh, praise the Lord, God working in the Gentile nation, fulfilling scripture that had been prophesied those many years before. And oh, yes, we see the contention. Oh, yes, the envy, all the blasphemy that came forth from the Jews and were going to continue to stir up a hornet's nest. Oh, we can't have this. But praise the Lord. Thank God that his mercy extended beyond the Jewish nation. Just as it was prophesied here in Isaiah chapter 55. Behold, verse 5, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the hope that we have deep within. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, that invitation that was extended at the very first verse here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that call that comes forth. How the Lord talks to our hearts. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And that's the drawing spirit of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it begins to talk to our hearts. First of all, to show us that we're sinners and that we need salvation. We need to turn our lives over to the living God and thank God for it. Amen. Oh, how he extends that invitation that we might come and receive of the living waters. Oh, yes. Oh, those waters of salvation, that Holy Ghost that he pours out upon his people. Yes, just as, it was told that they would be like unto wells of living water coming from our innermost being. Oh, praise the Lord, that invitation has been given. Praise the Lord, and we can obey and respond to these words of life. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for what he's done. Amen. Come ye to the waters and drink. Oh, yes, freely. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what happened. Extended to the Gentiles. Oh, yes. And thank God, here we are tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this invitation. Oh, thank you that you opened up the door of salvation. And oh, God, that we could come to you as individuals and be recipients of thy wondrous grace and of thy wondrous mercy. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Give us that faith and give us that desire. Give us that hunger and thirst. Oh, God, help us to be like Cornelius and his household. Oh, God, help us to be like these Gentile people. Oh, there at Antioch, Pisidia, oh God, we're so desirous to hear. I pray that you talk to our hearts and help us in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 4 and sing There Is a River, number 4. Deep within, there shall run dry. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.